We're in the sanctuary. We're in what they call the synagogue. We're in the church. We're in the house of prayer, house of God. Okay? And for a moment, I just want you to imagine with me the throne room of God. How many of you have read Revelation? Okay, if you haven't, it's a good book to read. It's very confusing if you don't understand what it's talking about, but it says that you will be blessed just for reading it. He didn't say you have to understand it. He just said read the book. So I want you to take a little trip with me tonight, and we are going to learn a little more about praise and worship. So I want you just to sit back, imagine with me the throne room of God. It's in the book of Revelation. And around the throne are four living creatures. And in Revelation 4:8, it says, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes round and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And then I want you to think, each time that that happens, 24 elders are sitting on thrones around God's throne, fall down before God and cry in Revelation 4:11, you are worthy, our Lord God, to receive glory, honor, and power. And that is going on in the heavenlies right now. Imagine being there. And on top of that, then there's thousands of angelics encircling the throne singing, worthy is the Lamb in Revelation 5:12. Who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and power. Heaven is a place of praise and worship of God. Earth should be as well. Perhaps you wonder why. Why should I praise and worship the Lord? We talk about it. I call it Christianese. It's like you don't understand other languages. Well, new people who walk into church, they don't understand our lingo either. The blood of the Lamb, you know, things like that, speaking in tongues, praise and worship. What is that? So the Lord laid on my heart tonight just to kind of open up and let you learn a little more about what the word praise and what the word worship and what that really truly means in our lives and how we can have victory in it, understand it a little more so that we can go out and do what God wants us to do, is like share it. Amen? So that's what I would like to do tonight. So I want you to consider this question. What difference does it make anyway if I praise the Lord? Have you ever asked yourself that? Well, they're being around in heaven right now. There's praise and worship going on all the time. And our heavenly home will be in heaven. So if we don't learn to worship and praise Him here, I don't know what's going to happen up there. Do you? Something to think about. So, consider this. Scripture talks about praise in the Bible approximately, give or take, 500 plus times. And to me, because it's in the Word so many times, it must be important to God. And if it's important to God, then it must, should be, could be, and will be important to us. What do you think? Heaven is a place of praise and worship. Earth should be as though. What is that? What difference does it? Okay, sorry. I was reading what it was. So consider this about that scripture. If the reason, for no other reason than just because God thinks that it's important, we should learn to praise and worship as well. And it's so hard to do, and it's another one of those things that if the devil can keep us from praising and worshiping and keep us distracted, then he's got us beat. But once we learn that, then we are strong in that area as well. So we can't dethrone you or can't get to you. Interesting, huh? So tonight, I want to look at some of the reasons why we should praise God. So the first scripture is in Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17. Because He is worthy of all our praise. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. So how are things held together from the scripture? Anyone know? For by Him all things. Right. Good answer. So so, I say that to say this. God is the one who created the whole world and everything in it, including you and me, and he holds everything together. Another scripture is John 3:16, and you probably are familiar with this one. If you know it, read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, one and only, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What else has God done? Exactly. God loves us so much that he sent his Son to die for us. Not only to die for us, but to save us from our sin and enable us to spend eternity with him. Where? In heaven, around God's throne. Amazing, huh? I don't know about you, but I'm excited. So God wants our praise. Another scripture would be Psalms 50, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise will glorify me. So when we're doing praise and worship, what we're really doing is we're glorifying God. Even when we're singing the songs, we shouldn't be singing for ourselves. We should be praising and worshiping and glorifying him. Amen? Everything we do, everywhere we go, and everything we say should be glorifying God. It should be pointing people to him, right? If it's pointing things to you, then no. God will not go for that. So God wants our praise. Not only wants our praise, another scripture is this one, Psalm 68:4, and it says, sing to God, sing praise to his name. Exalt him who rides on the clouds. His name is the Lord, and rejoice before him. When we sing and praise God, what are we doing? It says that we are what? We're exalting him. We're rejoicing before him when we're praising and worshiping the Lord. Exactly. And when we are worshiping the Lord and praising him, we are magnifying his name. And his word says that if we praise him and lift him up, he will draw all men unto him. Amen? Amen. That's what we should be doing. But some people, you know, you guys are like the A-team in here, okay? But on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, even on Wednesday nights when we do worship, sometimes our worship may go a little longer. Or maybe it's like, but really, we don't know what's going on in the spiritual realm. And what you come in all praised and ready to go and want to hear Pastor Shane or want to hear the word. But there's people who need that heart touch just a little bit with the music, with the worship, to be ready to hear the word of God. So just be aware of that. I just threw that out there. It's not in my notes, but anyway. Okay, another scripture is Psalms 22, verse 3. It says, but you are holy who inhabit the praises of Israel. Other versions of the Bibles, in the Bibles here, says that they enthrone. The word enthrone is another word for praise. That we enthrone God when we place him on the throne. We praise and worship him. So these are really good scriptures. Another scripture is Psalms 104. You guys know this one. We sing a song about it. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. How do we enter the Lord's courts? With praise and thanksgiving. So when we come to church, because we're the body of Christ, and if we're children of God, and he's our Father, and we're children of God, we should be coming through the doors already excited. We're in the house of God, excited and waiting for what God has for us. Come with an expectancy. Come expecting God to do something. You know what that does? That knits our hearts together, and it presents this feeling in the air called the presence of God. And then things happen. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's a lot of things going on in our church. It's exciting to see God move. And it's only because of the praises and the worship of his people. Because what did it say here? It says that, but you are holy who inhabit the praises of Israel. In other words, when we are praising and worshiping the Lord, we are bringing in the presence of God through us. That's pretty cool, huh? Yeah. This Psalm 100, verse 4, This is what this psalm is referring to, the tabernacle of the Old Testament. Worshippers entered the gates with thankful hearts, but as they came into the courts, their thanksgiving turned to praise. But we don't have an outer court. We just have a door. So our door is both praise and worship. Okay? Another one, we are commanded to praise God. It's not just, oh, I don't feel like it. It's a commandment. God asks you, I want your praise and worship. I want you to wholly devoted to me. Amen? A scripture that shows that is 117 Psalms, verse 1. It says, praise the Lord, all you nations. Exalt him, all you people. Who is commanded to praise the Lord in this verse? All nations, every person, everyone. Another one, Psalms 150, verse 6. It says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's get down to more specifics. Let's go to where, how, and when do you praise. Okay? You ready? This is fun. In church, is that the only time that you praise? Is that the only time we should praise? Can't find that in the Word, huh? 1 Chronicles 16:24, it says, 1 Chronicles 16:24, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all people. Wow. Another one, Psalms 22:22. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. Another one, Psalms 149:5. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. So it is proper to praise the Lord everywhere and all the time. And the more you praise the Lord, you know what happens? The more you take the focus off of you and your stuff, and you're focusing on God, and God will honor that and bless you. And he'll put you on a walk that's an adventure of a lifetime. Problem is, we have this enemy called the devil, or our mind, our flesh, that tells us, I don't want to do that. And when you don't do what God wants you to do, then you're just pleasing yourself. So I'm challenging you to recognize that, and with all your might and all your power within you, to praise and worship God on a daily basis. Your life will change, I promise. I know that for a fact. What an opportunity. Such an opportunity. So, there isn't an appropriate time to praise the Lord. It should be all the time. And here's a little catcher to you. It's not in my notes. I just thought of it. I have friends that are nervous around me, and they tell me, don't say anything when we're in the store. Because when something happens great, I just shout out, praise the Lord. Have I done that around you? Okay. If I have, I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm happy. The Lord will do. So when the Lord does something great, I want to honor him. And I want to make sure that he gets glory for it and everything said and done. And if Glenda was here tonight, I'll tell on her. We went shopping in Eugene, and we were in this humongous store, and it was really crowded, and there's people in there. And she wears beautiful jewelry. Sometimes she does that. And she had this real precious special ring on her pinky, and somehow it fell off. We didn't know which store because we've been in more than one store. But the store that she noticed it in, she started to panic. And I said, well, let's just pray and believe God's going to do it. And I just did that real loud in the store and people looking around. Anyway, did it anyway. And so we walked. We read, you know how you're nervous, but you retrace your track. And so we went around all of the different things and all. And we didn't find it. So we went ahead and left her information with the store. And we backtracked. About 20 minutes after we left that store and we're backtracking, she gets a phone call. They found her ring. Isn't that great? So where we were at in the other store, I just shouted out, praise the Lord. Glenda. Now she doesn't care because her ring was found. So she's praising the Lord too. So that's just it. If you praise the Lord, he'll do whatever for you, because when you have children and your children are doing something right, doesn't that make you happy? You want to bless them? Well, God is better than that. Okay, another scripture is Psalms 59:16. When do we praise the Lord? In Psalms 59:16, it says that in the morning I will sing of your love. When we get up, we should just be automatically praising the Lord, thanking him that he gave us breath for another day. Amen? Another one is Psalm 71:24. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. How often should we praise the Lord for his righteous acts? All day long. Amen. Another one is Psalms 146:2. It says, I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Another one is Psalms 34:1. I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be on my lips. That doesn't mean that you have to sing a song all day. That just means to meditate on the Lord as you're doing your daily stuff. Just think about things. I don't know. Maybe if Pastor Shane's name comes through your mind, then maybe God wants you just to lift him up in prayer at that moment. Or if a missionary pops in your mind, maybe God wants you just to lift them up. Or if you're talking and you speak accidentally someone's name, perhaps maybe God's laid on your heart to say a little prayer for that person. Have you ever done that? I have. Yeah, it's like, oops, where'd that come from? You never know what. Wherever you go, whatever you do, always be on call for that. Always have something on your lips. And then there's varieties of praise, not just singing. The scripture in Psalms 47:6 is the one about singing. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. Isaiah 12:6 says to shout. You can shout praises. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Another scripture is Psalms 47:1. Clap. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. Another one is 150 in Psalms 3 through 5. It says, praise him with the sounding of trumpet, with a harp or a lyre or tambourine and dancing, strings and flutes and cymbals, guitars, drums, piano, our voices. That's what God wants. Amen? Okay, another one is Luke 6:23. It says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy because great is your reward in heaven. That's pretty cool, huh? There are so many scriptures. I'm not even touching half of the scriptures. Another one is 2 Samuel 6:14. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with a linen ephod. Does anyone know what an ephod is? Not much. Just a little covering. And his wife went, come on, David. What you doing, dude? He was just full of joy. He was just so excited that he danced before the Lord. He just danced. Another scripture is Acts 10:46. They heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Wouldn't that be awesome if people heard us in the city? I remember when we did our drive up. Was it Easter? Yeah, drive up Easter morning. We had drive up church. Kind of like you go to the drive-in movie. But we had drive-in church. And Fred set up the radio frequencies where you could actually turn your radio on to its frequency. And you could hear Pastor Shane out there on a truck trailer preaching. And not only that, but we had humongous speakers. And they were like turned up. And so you could literally hear our speakers, Pastor Shane, preaching God's word in Myrtle Creek all the way to the police station. That morning. It was pretty cool. And we had lots of people in there. And the neat thing was when they did amen, they'd honk the horn, nah, 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 or they'd do the windshield or flip their lights. And we had a good time. It was great. Yeah, we should, huh? Just because. Yeah, even if the flu bug has been changed to protect the innocent, whatever. Yeah, okay. Let's not go there. Okay. So that's a neat thing, too. And you're right, we should do that again. That would be fun. Have a praise and worship time. So, they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. But praise is not an end unto itself. Praise frequently will lead us into worship with Him. Did you know that? And while we're praising, what's happening in the heavenlies, remember we talked about spiritual warfare? that there's a war going on, praise and worship in the congregation as a whole together. What we're doing during that time is, in the heavenlies, we're breaking up strongholds and we're breaking up things on people's lives because of our praise and worship. It's true. Read it. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. It's amazing what worship can do. Worship is strong. And they've also proven that music and singing in the hospitals and in nursing homes brings back people's health, makes them feel better, brings them back to listen to music and praise and worship. Yeah. There's that scripture. I don't have that one here, but it's a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a dry, broken spirit dries the bones. Have you heard that? Yeah, it's true. So the scripture in John chapter 4, 23 through 23 says that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks out. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. I have read this scripture so many times, and I've heard it preached right and wrong. So I wanted to kind of clarify it a little bit tonight, if that's okay with you. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes when you read this scripture, people get it differently. So this is my interpretation of what that's saying, that we worship him in spirit and in truth, okay? To truly worship God, we must worship him in our spirit, the spirit that we have within us. Worship is our spirit touching God's spirit. When Jesus died on the cross and came back and he visited with the disciples, he told them, I have to go away. But he said, I'm going to leave you a comforter. I'm going to leave you something so you're not going to be by yourself, right? And what was that he left? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit. Worship is our spirit touching God's spirit. So God's spirit lives in us, in you, right? So our spirit that he gave us is touching his spirit when we're worshiping him. Does that make sense? So it's not our flesh. It's the spirit of God inside of us. It's our soul. It's our whole being. And so that's what it's talking about in spirit and in truth. Does that make sense to you? There are times when we are so overwhelmed with love for the Lord that we pass beyond just praising and we enter into worship. Sometimes we kneel down. Sometimes we just stand with our hands raised. Sometimes we put our faces to the floor. Sometimes we just begin to cry. Unashamedly, just cry. Worship brings us into a closeness. It brings us into an intimacy with God. That's what worship's all about. Something supernatural happens when we worship God. And I've got two examples, and then I'm done. And I'm just so excited about this opportunity that we have to praise and worship. Because the God of creation, the God of the universe, the God in the throne room right now has made it possible for you and I to come to him and just cry out, Abba, Father. And he'll do and be and love us unconditionally, the way we are. But he loves us so much, he doesn't want us to stay that way. He wants us to grow. He wants us to win people for him, right? So in Matthew 15, there's a story of a woman. She wasn't a Jew. She was a heathen woman who comes to Jesus to ask him, to beg him to heal her demon-possessed daughter. And at first, Jesus doesn't even answer. He doesn't even acknowledge her. And the disciples are urging him to send her away. But the woman is persistent. She continually bugs him. And the scripture goes on in Matthew 15:25 and says, Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Has there ever been a time in your life when you just couldn't do something and you just had to just rely totally on the Lord? Well, this is this woman. This is where she's at. Here is a woman, not a Jew, who nevertheless has heard enough about Jesus to know that he can heal her daughter. Not only that, but she took a chance to worship him, and she knows that he can heal her daughter regardless of what he thinks about her. And she was willing to be made fun of and spit on and maybe even go to jail because of it. And then Jesus finally in Matthew 15:28 says to her after all of that, then Jesus answered her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. When she worshiped Jesus, he granted her her request. Honestly. Another scripture and another example of supernatural things happening when we just surrender our life to him is also in Matthew 8:2-3. And Pastor Shane shared about this. It's about the lepers. One of the lepers came and worshiped him, who? Jesus, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And I don't know if you know about leprosy, but you lose stuff, falls off, just crazy. And when you get healed completely, he was restored. That means that God, he restored him back to whole. So that was amazing. So true worshiping, true in the heart worship. And I'm not saying that every time we worship the Lord, he'll heal our requests. Not saying that, okay? What I'm saying is that it's possible because that's as close to the Lord in praise and worship, because he loves his children to praise and worship him. And there's power in that. And we are healed or our requests are granted, but something in our acts of worship enables Jesus to work in ways he could not do otherwise, because we're not focused on him. When we focus on ourselves, when we're focusing in doing sin, God can't look upon that, and so he can't help us. So that's why it's so important to keep that psalm, hymn, scripture in your mind all day long, to stay focused. So I'm just going to read what I wrote. This is not to say that every time we worship the Lord, we are healed or our requests are granted, but something in our acts of worship enable Jesus to work in ways he could not otherwise do. This is one of the great mysteries of our faith. And if you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is called the Gospels, those are the four Gospels, those are the books that introduce you about Jesus and his character. That's what those books are, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then Acts talks about the church, talks about the Holy Spirit coming into there. Okay, that's those books. Our God is a God who is worthy of all our praise and worship. Let us join with the host of heaven and give him the glory that is due him. Amen. Amen. And so tonight what I wanted to do was we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And to praise and worship the Lord in song and in spirit and in truth. In our spirit with his spirit. Amen. Amen. So, I want to just share a story with you, and then if you have a story, you can share. But this was a story I shared a little bit on one of the Sundays about had a gallbladder surgery, and it was supposed to just be in and out, but it didn't. It ended up being 6 months in the hospital, and one of the sutures come off completely. One was leaking, and one was leaking. So there's this bile, and I don't know if you know about our bodies, but our bodies need to get out that stuff. And it started to eat my innards. It started to eat all of my inside things. And the hospital that I was in was a little hospital on the coast, and they didn't have a stroke. They didn't have a... So they kept telling me that, and then my mom, they were like, think about, like, Lord, I love you. And I just was singing to him because I was afraid. And saying he didn't know what to do. And my sister finally had this feeling. She said, "We're getting out of here." But she liked my
I know what praise and worship is. I know that it works because I've been there and I walked that road with God. And what is this? I think it felt like, okay, I'll try sipping some chicken broth. And pretty soon I started feeling better. But I know it was the song and I know it was the praise and worship that saved my life. But I don't use it today. And then I get out and then it's real close to Thanksgiving. Back to the hospital, back to my routine in the little country,
in the little city, and I started feeling sick again, and I started feeling like there was something wrong with me, and it just was hurting really bad. So I had to go back to this little hospital, and I didn't have time to be life-flighted or drive to Medford. So they told me that I had lesions wrapped around my stomach, and if I didn't have a surgery right now, I would die again. It's like, what? And the person that was on call was the very same person that caused the other surgery. So here I am back again at the same place, praise and worshiping God in my mind, having to trust this same person second time. So praise and worship, God just kind of said, okay, are you going to trust me? Yes. So I had to walk in trust. I had to walk in forgiveness. And to this day, I've never ever told who it was or any of that. Never sued, never did anything. Loved them, encouraged them. Every time I saw him, because we are ministry, so our congregation would go there. Just loved on and walked in forgiveness. So not only did I learn how to trust God and praise and worship, but also praise and worship through forgiveness and trusting. And just amazing things that went on during that time. And I'm here tonight because of prayer and because of praise and worship. So songs are powerful. They are. They really are. And praise and worship is the heartbeat of the Lord. He loves our worship and praise. And he doesn't care how great a singing we do, doesn't care. Play the piano terrible or good. He loves us. He loves you. And so now you can kind of get a dynamic of what praise and worship really is. So it's just not coming in and singing 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 songs sometimes and singing over and over the chorus. It's because the Lord is trying to reach you and me and get us in the right to focus on what God has for us to that day. So now we know what praise and worship's all about. So I hope that helps you. And so I want to hear some dynamic prayer and worship song testimonies. Someone, Mary has one. And he'll hold the mic, and you can just talk in the mic, okay? Just a minute. We're going to use you on mic so that the people online can hear you. So you'll be next, okay? Perfect. Praise and worship.
My testimony, I thank God for what he did today. I pray for his little wife to love the country and say thank you.
Amen.
And I pray for their life, God, thank you for all you have done and what you are doing.
Amen.
Love that family with all my heart.
Amen. Anthony.
I thought I had everything, but I was in a tech school. find out that I don't have that chip.
Good one. Good job. Amen. Anyone else? Judy?
Song. right attitude, the right push up, pray about it, and ask God to make us a peaceful place, and then we put God in and start to worship. I can clear the whole place out, and it's all very, very, and it's funny, you know, love to talk about it, but a lot of people are doing that, and start to talk about it, and I start to imagine myself in the same exact way. So we're both feeling that.
Others?
Oh, I praise God that what He has done in my life, what He is doing today, love God and appreciate God for what He's done for my wife, my home, and just praise Him every day.
Man, it made this right. Amen. It's awesome. Amen. Something about music. Something about the worship and praising the Lord. Amen. Is that it? We'll just close in prayer. That one, Michelle? That one? Oh, yeah. Michelle's going to share. Amen. Can't beat that. That's perfect. Yep. Yep. And to turn the music on real quiet at night and just let the music play all night long. Praise and worship songs to the Lord. Our subconscious hears that too. So God is so good. All right. So let's just close in prayer. Bill, would you like to close us in prayer? All right, you got a mic. Awesome. Yeah.
For this night, Lord, we thank you for Tammy for sharing this message, Lord, with us tonight and going through these things and bringing to life for us. Some of them we may have heard or have not heard before, Lord, but every time we hear it, Lord, they have different meanings every single time. And where we're at in our lives for that day, for that moment, Lord, the meanings that are there. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for every person that's been here tonight, Lord. And everybody that's on the internet watching,
yeah,
Lord, that,
thank you.
Pray that we all have a blessed week this week, Lord. And we pray that we're able to get a little relief from, well, obviously, the things going on outside with the smoke.
her sword and keep it safe to the sweet Lord, and to bring the women back tomorrow morning for their women's ministry, Lord, the men on Friday for theirs, Lord, and bring us all together on Sunday to come and to worship you, Lord, and to celebrate and to be in your presence. We just thank you for everything. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Bye.